welcome to the 412th episode of Travel Itch Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. And this is the 10th season of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel Itch Radio.
And our honored guest tonight is Denise Spiegel, Director of Global Communications for Visit Orlando. Welcome, Denise, to Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Denise,
well, we're
tell
very glad
us
you're
why
here.
Now is a good time to visit Orlando.
Well, it is a great time to visit Orlando. I mean, right now, you know, we are the home to some of the most trusted brands in the travel and tourism industry who take safety extremely seriously. So there are so many precautions that we have in place, like lower capacity, increased sanitation, physical distancing, things that will make people, travelers, ready and more comfortable. But also, it's still the same Orlando that everyone has known and loved. And so you can have those treasured experiences in Orlando. And there's always something new to see and do in Orlando, too.
We know that people are starting to travel, particularly to Florida. What do you see in terms of visitorship or travel planning for this summer?
Yeah, people are ready to travel again. Summer is really expected to be strong based on a couple of factors. We have the growing travel sentiment. Research has shown that 87% of American travelers are planning a trip this summer. Domestic seat capacity is going up. And then we're also seeing, you know, personal savings is being accumulated. So people are setting that aside to pay for travel. Some of the research we also found is that more than 50% of travelers are considering Orlando. So it's going to be a popular destination this summer, and we're really excited about welcoming people back.
Denise, what are some of the most exciting new attractions visitors can experience this summer?
Well, that's the great thing about Orlando is there is always something new. And so if you haven't been in 1 year, you haven't been in 5 years, you haven't been in 20 years, or the reverse, there's always something new. And, you know, a big, you know, I don't know about you, but if you like roller coasters, there is a big, fast one that has been referred to as Relentless that is opening on June 10th. It's Jurassic World Velocicoaster, and it's opening at Universal's Islands of Adventure. This is going to be the Florida's fastest and tallest launch coaster, and it all ties into the Jurassic World movie. So it's going to be super fun for fans of dinosaurs, for fans of the movies, and for fans of, you know, thrill rides. In addition to that, you know, it's warm in Florida. There's no getting around that, especially in the summer. Aquatica Orlando, which is SeaWorld's water park, has unveiled the first dueling water slide called Riptide Race. And so guests, they race side by side at top speeds. And then dining, there are so many restaurants that have been opening, and one we're looking forward to opening this summer is a celebrity chef restaurant from Gordon Ramsay. It's a fish and chip place at Icon Park that's opening up this summer.
Ooh.
What new hotels have opened or will open this year?
Yeah, so we have a variety of hotels. You know, overall in our destination, we have more than 450 hotels to choose from, and the number keeps climbing, even in a pandemic year, right? So in the very end of December 2020, Universal opened a new property called Dockside Inn and Suites. It's a value property, so the rates start pretty low at even like $79 a night and go up, and there's options for regular rooms or also suites, which are perfect for families. And Universal Orlando has been growing the hotels on their property, so they have a variety of options there. And over by Disney World, the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort, they're going to be opening a new 14-story hotel tower called the Swan Reserve. And that one's closer to Disney property. And then if you want to go into a completely different area that a lot of visitors don't see, downtown Orlando is another option. We have a new hotel downtown called the AC Hotel, And that was really cool because they have a rooftop terrace and rooftop bar up there with really cool city views. So you feel like you're in the city versus out by the theme park. So it's a totally different vibe there.
Denise, as a fan of the Atlanta Braves, who used to have spring training at Disney World, I worked with several vacation home companies and realized visitors get more bang for their buck, plus more space and a quieter place to stay in a vacation home. Did the vacation home idea begin in Orlando, and has it become a popular alternative for large families or families traveling together or small groups?
You know, it's a really interesting question about where the vacation home idea, you know, began. You know, there's an area in Orlando called, it's just north of downtown Orlando called Winter Park. And, you know, before even Disney existed, it was named Winter Park because, you know, Northerners used to take the train down to Winter Park to, you know, actually winter there. And it's actually modeled after a little New York City with a, you know, a little central garden and a Park Avenue. And people would come down and they would have summer homes or vacation homes there. And that was way before, you know, the bigger tourism boom. But, you know, I'm not really sure the origin story for that, but it would be really interesting to look into. But vacation homes now are definitely popular, especially for larger groups or multiple families that want a vacation together. So there's plenty of options for people to come and check those out. And like I said before, we have more than 450 hotels and resorts. So not just vacation homes, there are resort options and condo options where people really can spread out, and they are suites, there's multi-rooms with kitchens and other amenities, really to make you very comfortable. So whatever really works for your budget and for your family, we have the option for you. I know, you know, very popular for families is to look for a property with an amazing pool on site, and we have resorts that have water parks on site, water slides, you name it. There's even a resort in Orlando that has a pirate ship in the pool area, which is a massive hit with the kids.
And if I recall correctly, there is a resort, I think it's the Grand Cypress, Hyatt Grand Cypress, that has a streetcar line running around it.
Yeah. Like I said, there's something for everyone in Orlando.
Okay, we're talking with Denise Spiegel of Visit Orlando.
Denise, what about bed and breakfast inns and Airbnbs?
Yeah, but there's fewer like bed and breakfast. Airbnbs are absolutely popular. You can certainly find those in Orlando. But some of the little smaller towns, sort of more on the outskirts, would be more your bed and breakfast. Probably not more in the heart of Orlando, but you can find those too. There's a wonderful. It's an independent hotel in Winter Park, which I mentioned before, called the Alphon Inn, which is actually it's associated with Rollins College, which is a wonderful liberal arts college. It's actually where Mr. Rogers went to school, obviously many, many years ago. But it's in this beautiful area, and the profits from that hotel goes to scholarship funds for Rollins College. And it also has a wonderful art collection within the hotel, and that's a wonderful option if you're looking for something a little bit different and a little bit outside of the main tourism corridor.
That is so intriguing. Now tell us, are there any best-kept secrets or fun activities outside the parks that our listeners should make sure to visit?
Yeah, a couple options. I mentioned Winter Park, where the Alphon Inn is located, and how it was sort of set up kind of like a very mini New York City with a central park. There's a couple of really hidden gems in that area. So, for example, there's the Morse Museum, which has the largest collection of works of art by Tiffany. So, you know, the Tiffany glass, so there's paintings, jewelry, all sorts of things. So that museum is amazing. There is even a chapel that they moved that was created for the World's Fair. I think that was in the 40s or something. It's beautiful. Also in that area, there's a boat tour because there's a chain of three lakes that are connected by canals. And you go on this boat tour and you have a guide that gives you all the history of the area, points out, you know, beautiful architecture from the mansions that are on the lakes that you're going through. And it's just a really relaxing, sort of totally different type of experience. A little closer to the theme parks, but also it feels like worlds away, is an area called Winter Garden. And this is closer to the Disney area. There's a place called Plant Street Market, which has a variety of places to eat, sit outside. There's a brewery there. You can go biking on the West Orange Trail that's up there to kind of explore that area. And then downtown Orlando is another area that maybe some visitors haven't seen before and want to check out. And there's everything from our Performing Arts Center to the arena where the Orlando Magic play, to the main heart of downtown Orlando. There's an area called Lake Eola. And you can take a swan boat out and, you know, go for a little paddle in a swan boat in the middle of the lake. And it's beautiful, especially during sunset time. Great restaurants downtown. But there's also fun attractions like axe throwing or, you know, a selfie. It's called the wall crawl, where you can go into different scenes and take selfies. So there's something for every taste and budget, even outside of the theme park.
That is so cool. What special events are planned in your area for summer and fall?
So we always have special events that are going on in Orlando, and you can find those listed on our events calendar at visitorlando.com. A couple I'll point out, the Taste of Epcot Flower and Garden Festival, that is currently running, but it goes through July 5th. So that's at Epcot, beautiful garden spaces and exhibits. There's 15 outdoor kitchens that have a variety of dishes, so it's great for foodies as well as people who love to see the beautiful gardens and topiaries. When we get closer to fall, we have, it's called Visit Orlando's Magical Dining. And this is like a restaurant week, but it's beyond a week. It runs middle of August through the end of September. And there are deals on a variety of restaurants, some of the best ones in Orlando, a three-course menu for a set price. So that's always worth checking out to explore dining in Orlando. And then over the years, Orlando has become known for Halloween events. So you have Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. That starts as early as September and runs through October. That's definitely the one that's more for adults, a little scarier, some of their haunted houses. For all ages, Disney's a great option, and they're having their after-hours Boo Bash. And that starts as early as August and runs through October. And that has, you know, wonderful – that's after, you know, special ticketed event after the day. They have trick-or-treating, they have some performances, live entertainment, and that's a lot of fun as well.
Since the weather is hot and sticky in Central Florida during the summer, Denise, is that the best time of the year for somebody looking for bargain rates on rental cars, hotels, and airfare?
You know, you can find something for your budget no matter the time of year. Fall is definitely more of the value season. It's a little slower then. You know, people need to kind of do some research and keep an eye on things for rental cars. I know there's an overall rental car shortage, and so that has been a little tricky, I think, for people, but they are available. I know somebody that was here yesterday had no problem renting a car. But you just got to do your research, plan ahead. You can be directed to some of those deals on our website. But know that holidays tend to be busiest, so if you can work around holidays to do some of your planning, that can help. But again, we offer so much in terms of the levels of different hotels and the variety of attractions and restaurants that are, you know, from quick service to higher end. So there's so many options that people can find what they want, even through any time period, really.
And speaking of airfare, I love Orlando International Airport with its monorail connection to the terminal and very convenient car rental facility across the street. I always consider that monorail to be the first Disney ride before you get to Disney. How many carriers serve the airport, and is expansion in the works?
You're so right on the monorail. I think some kids think they're already on a ride, and you know, when they arrive at Orlando, it's quite cute, and their mind is blown later when they get on a real ride, right? So carriers,
yeah.
There's about 34, you know, for right now, really, it's majority domestic flights. But the good thing is the domestic flights are, the seat capacity we're predicting for domestic flights for the summer is actually looking to be greater than it was pre-pandemic. This can definitely change, but domestic travelers should have no issues finding flights to Orlando because they are plentiful, and we're really excited about that, reaching so many different cities. And then in terms of an expansion, we do have an expansion underway. It's the South Terminal Phase 1. So this is going to add 15 gates that is capable of accommodating about 18 aircraft, depending on the combination. So this is in the works. It's expected to be completed in 2022. So we have a little bit longer to wait, but we're really excited about what that will do to increase capacity at our airport and get more people here easily and make it a really seamless experience.
Do most of your visitors fly or drive, and can't they also arrive by train?
So most of our visitors drive. It's actually about 70%, and this stat is pre-pandemic. It's not anything that changed with the pandemic. So 70% drive. So, you know, we're very popular for in the Southeast, so throughout Florida and beyond. And so a lot of people drive, but, you know, people drive from as far as New York, Canada, Texas. So we see driving as a very popular option. Train is possible. It's definitely going to be a longer journey. There is an Amtrak train that comes through that area of Winter Park that I mentioned earlier. So that is an option for people who want to take that. It just may not be the fastest route.
What is the status of the high-speed rail line designed to link Orlando and Miami?
Yeah, so that's the Bright Line. So that has been underway for a while. It's not going to be to Orlando until, and then it's going to come to the Orlando airport first and then expand on beyond that. We're looking at 2023. It's a massive infrastructure project. It's making progress. There's quite a lot of different zones it's going through. So we're looking forward to it, but we're a few years away from the completion of that. But it definitely will make things easier for people who are coming from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and then eventually, you know, it could end up going as far as Tampa, but we're quite a few years away from that. But we're excited to see the progress being made.
And we're talking with Denise Spiegel of Visit Orlando.
Denise, you touched on this before, but could you tell us what was the annual number of visitors to Orlando before the pandemic? And do you expect those numbers to return in the near future?
So prior to the pandemic, we had 75 million visitors, you know, most visited destination in the U.S., which we're really proud of that because we know people love Orlando and love coming to Orlando. So, you know, it's going to take time to get back to those levels. We are absolutely focused on recovery and we're seeing positive signs. We don't really expect to get to full levels potentially by 2023. We see domestic coming back strong. You know, we have positive signs for the summer, and, you know, that's going to return first. International will be more slowly behind it. And so to get to all of that together, both domestic and international and meetings as well, and we're looking at closer to 2023.
To reassure potential visitors who might be reluctant to travel, could you tell us what health and safety protocols are in place, especially in the airport, hotels, restaurants, other public places?
Absolutely. You know, Orlando, we take safety very seriously. And when the pandemic hit, there were several different agencies, Orange County Government, which is the county that we're in, Visit Orlando, and Orlando Economic Partnership. We got together and pulled together a campaign to make sure that we educated people, local businesses, local residents, on the importance of following safety guidelines. I think it was really important that early on we made people understand why it was a priority to follow these guidelines. And so we put several things in place to make sure that happened, because if your local community is following those, your visitors will then eventually feel more comfortable and they'll see that. And again, you know, Orlando is home to some of the most trusted brands in the tourism industry who have done a magnificent job of really focusing on safety and safety of the guests and their employees as well. So you'll see mask requirements, physical distancing. And the physical distancing means that there's lower capacity at our theme park. So you really need to make sure you're making reservations and buying tickets in advance for those. But even at the airport, you're seeing, you know, physical distancing. You can see PPE vending machines, sanitation everywhere. And, you know, what I love about it, too, is Orlando is so creative. We've seen some creative approaches that businesses have taken. So, for example, World Center Marriott has a new vertical concert series. So you're on your balcony, and there's a concert out there. So everybody watches the concert from their balcony.
Oh.
And then, which I think is a pretty amazing, a fun event. And then in downtown Orlando at the Dr. Phillips Center for Performing Arts, which I mentioned earlier, they created the first socially distanced music festival in the U.S. And these have been special events that have gone on throughout the pandemic and are still going on, where they put these little elevated boxes, like small little boxes, like pods of sorts, 6 feet apart. And so you come with your family and you can watch the show outside, but you're separated from other guests. And that has been successful as well. And just shows you that, the creativity is there to keep on moving forward and creating fun events and activities while keeping safety at the forefront.
That is so cool. Now, tell me, how did the pandemic impact Orlando, and are things gradually returning to normal?
So, like all destinations that have, significant tourism, the pandemic really was devastating. So, closures, significant job losses, you name it, it was a rough year. I don't think anybody could argue that at all. But we're encouraged now by dramatic improvement in visitation. So over the Christmas and New Year's holiday, our occupancy got up to over 52%. Spring break was even better. We saw occupancy levels around 66%. And so we're seeing the rapid accelerating availability of vaccines is giving us additional hope and positivity towards the summer, because we're seeing even more interest then. So as I said earlier, we're seeing wonderful signs of improvement and pent-up demand and interest in Orlando, especially on the domestic side. Once international opens back up, we expect that our international travelers will come back as well. But overall, full-on recovery we're still a little ways away from that.
What other trends are you seeing as visitors return?
So we're seeing people who are returning who are, excited to celebrate milestones that they've missed. So people, just families reconnecting, and are doing that through a getaway. People who are meeting up all in Orlando. So when you see multi-generations, you see multiple families. People really just want to get back to having some semblance of normal. And to a lot of people, that's a vacation, and a vacation in Orlando where they can create memories again and have those experiences with, brands they love, but also with people they love. And so we're seeing, the return there. I think, a lot of people have been talking about skip-gen travel, so where grandparents take the grandkids, and so we're seeing a little bit of that as well, especially as a lot of the grandparents are definitely vaccinated by this point too. So we're just seeing a lot of people who are excited and ready to get back to traveling, and are just, it's exciting to see the turnaround and to see the joy on people's faces as they're coming and being on vacation again.
Are there any deals this summer that visitors can take advantage of?
Absolutely. So if you go to visitorlando.com, we have more than 160 deals that you can find on our website. So we have things general for the general public. We also have for our first responders, our military members. You can find whatever fits you. And these range from everything from attractions to a variety of hotels. There's even like rental car discount. There's a save 20% off of enterprise rental car, dining. So you name it. It's a great place to kind of look around and start building that itinerary based off of some of the deals that you can get.
Okay, looking ahead, I'm coming to Orlando this December to cover the baseball winter meetings, which had been held before at Disney's Swan and Dolphin. I've been to previous winter meetings there and also to IPW and other conferences. What makes Orlando such a great convention venue, and do you think things are returning to what they were a couple of years ago?
Well, that's wonderful to have you back in Orlando coming soon, so we're excited about that. And what makes Orlando such a good spot for a convention or trade show? So it's easy to get to for everybody. We're central, like we're, you know, we have the airlift and people drive as well. There's spaces and venues to accommodate any group size, any group interest, and we're so flexible and used to, you know, making whatever a group wants happen. And then it's also a very appealing destination for people who want to combine business and leisure. You know, people call it leisure, but that's a benefit as well. So we're taking steps towards recovery. We do see that because of our strong reputation and our emphasis on safety, recovery in our meetings industry is actually outpacing the national forecast. And so we have plans to host more than 80 citywide conventions this year at the convention center. So we're seeing meetings come back slowly but surely, and we're pacing very well.
Okay, your area has lots of natural attractions too, Denise. I've done airboat rides in the Everglades and also went backstage at Gatorland to see the alligators respond when their keeper calls them by name. What are some of those natural attractions?
Yeah, we have a variety of natural springs that you can drive to from the tourism corridor. We can see manatees in the wild. You can rent a clear kayak, which is an amazing way to see sort of the natural landscape and wildlife in Orlando. We have several spots on the Florida Birding Trail if you like bird watching, biking, boat tours, you name it. There's something for everybody who loves the great outdoors in Orlando.
And lots of participation in sports like golf and tennis, I'm sure. Isn't Orlando one of the golf capitals of the world?
Absolutely. We have more than 150 golf courses in Orlando and also many golf academies. So for lovers of golf, you're going to find, you know, amazing courses designed by pros like Arnold Palmer, Greg Norman, Tom Fazio. And there's definitely golf tournaments you can see during the year if you're a fan of golf as well.
Okay, just a couple of minutes to go. Mary Ellen?
When are your peak and bargain seasons, especially with an eye on the sky?
Sure. So holidays are the most popular time. So if you can go a non-holiday time frame, you're going to find probably a few more deals. Fall is generally a very good time for that. But no matter the season, we have such a wide range of options to fit every budget.
And our listeners always like to know a little bit more about our guests. So could you share a little bit about how you got into the world of travel and hospitality and how you became the Director of Global Communications for Visit Orlando?
Sure. I'm not from Florida, which I think is a common theme. You find a lot of people who are not from Florida, they just end there because it's just a wonderful place to be. I grew up in Delaware, so more northeast area. And spent time in upstate New York and California and really started working in public relations at an agency and then landed in Florida at Visit Orlando quite a few years ago and just fell in love with the destination, with the hospitality industry. And it's just been a pleasure to represent Visit Orlando and the destination because it's such a place that makes so many people happy and creates amazing memories.
And it's visitorlando.com is the website for more information. Is that correct?
That is correct, visitorlando.com.
And many thanks to Denise Spiegel, Director of Global Communications at Visit Orlando, for being our guest on Travelitch Radio tonight.
Thank you so much.
It was great having you. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, same announcers, we'll talk to Rachel Welch about the Lodge at Torrey Pines, flagship of Evans Hotels. Now this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.